You're listening to the good.
Don't call me Paino.
The bad.
Absolute.
And the rugby.
Folded like a deck chair.
With Paino, Lord, and the Husk. I don't know what that means.
Hello, Dream Team, and a very warm welcome to you to another episode of The Good, The Bad and The Rugby in partnership with City Index, the leading provider of spread betting, CFD and FX trading, though I hope they won't mind this week when we say we could well be sponsored by Aspirin, because we have two very well-celebrated gentlemen joining us on the pod this time around. Tins is here. Are you ready?
You know when you feel so excited that you're not going to be the only one that's feeling hungover and having to carry themselves?
Yeah.
I'm about to introduce to how I felt through most of the tour, actually. So I'm quite looking forward to hearing what went on.
We'll give them our number for our friends at dialysis.co.uk. Would you like to introduce them? Because they're all warlords and old friends of yours, and it's very good to have them on.
Yeah, obviously, first up is a man who should be well retired by now, but actually has won more premierships than any... He's won more premiership finals than any club singly, yeah. Right?
The Ryan Giggs of premiership rugby.
Ryan Giggs is about to tip the scales at 40 years old. It's our best mate, me old mucker, Richard Wigglesworth.
Welcome along. Hello.
And then the social media sensation, that is, after getting the ball knocked out of his hand against Toulouse in 2018, he's fully redeemed himself. And his socials, by the way, over the last 36 hours have been off the charts. Freddie Burns. Welcome, lads.
Boys.
How are we? Lively?
Dusty. I'm boys, but we carry on, eh? We keep going.
I love it. Freddie, toasting on a Monday with a can of Thatcher's. I'm going to come to you first of all, Freddie Burns. How are you feeling?
Mate, I'd be honest with you, boys. I don't really know how I feel. Like, I'm buzzing. You've had, like, 2 days on the sauce, and I don't really get what's happened, boys. And the best thing is, and I was saying just before we come on, is everyone wants to know me again now, boys. Do you know what I mean? I got the call after this. The phone's going off.
Everyone. It won't last, Fred.
No, it won't, mate. It won't, because I'll do something to fuck it up like I always do. But it's been amazing, man, just to do it. And like I said, for me, speaking to the family and having a few beers with the boys yesterday and seeing what it means to them is unbelievable, mate. So I'm on cloud nine.
Well, you thoroughly deserve it. As we say in these parts, ride the storms and celebrate those sunshines. And the sun is shining at the moment, Fred. Wiggy, talk me through the fact that the young pup had to take you home at the weekend. Everyone's seen you asleep in a cab.
No, he had to drag me in a cab last night. He was dying to go home. So I was trying to outlast him.
All he wanted was chicken nuggets. And
I was running around McDonald's at 2:30, stealing chicken nuggets because no one would buy me any. The queue was too big.
With the greatest respect, Richard, you sound like you've got one of those automated voice boxes that you press to your throat.
Yeah, I'd love to tell you I was shouting in the game, but it was probably just being excited on the beers afterwards.
How, as an old man like you, does this one feel?
This one felt special because of the team we were playing, how quickly Steve and the players have turned Leicester around. It felt special, but I think they've all been special. But this one was, I don't know, no one had us down to win, did they? I don't know anyone who picked us to win, and I'm not surprised at that, but probably made it even sweeter.
Yeah, we all wanted.
Yeah.
But it's difficult. 9 years since Leicester's last title chase, is that right? About right? 2013. But led from week one to week 24. So everyone wanted you to win, but it's just Sarri's have that mentality of winning. And I think even as the game went on, I thought you should have been pulling further ahead. You turned down a couple of shots at goal, which I thought you should have taken just to keep pushing the score on. But then when you think that Sarri's are coming into their zone, whenever you need Gaddafi to stand up and hit a droppy, if only you could have had the... You know, you stepped up and did a job, and I was so happy for the both of you. Obviously, we go back a long time, Freddie, since he was a young man, and same with Wiggy, since we were both young men, which is a long, long time ago. And I was just, you know, the way both of you performed, obviously, how, Freddie, what was going through your mind when, you know, obviously, Fordy gets Hopefully he's all right, gets that ankle injury. Are you thinking immediately, yes, this is my, is the song, this is my moment, going through your head, or are you looking behind you to see where the shit's dropped?
Well, yeah, no, it was a bit of both, really. Like, first of all, I think 40, generally, like, we've had a rivalry all our careers, and it's like, people would like to bill it that we don't like each other and all that sort of stuff, but what a bloke and what a pleasure it's been to see how he operates and sort of play alongside him this season. So first and foremost, you're gutted for him walking off, but then the main thing is that we then kick on and go and win it. And to do that and send him off, obviously on his travels with up to sale, but to send him off as a Premiership champion is no less than he deserves. So, mate, I absolutely bricked it, but at the same time, you know what, it's like these moments are there to be enjoyed, and that's all I wanted to do. And I never saw it going the way it did. I didn't see us. I saw us winning the game. I didn't see it going down to the wire like it did, or having the role that I played. So to have done it, boys, like, oh, what a day. What a day.
Was it as badly hit droppy as it looked in the ball flight or not?
Yeah, mate. I reckon I would hit a better drop goal if I had a pair of steel cap boots on, mate. You know what I mean? Generally.
Does it count, though, does it? Doesn't matter.
Honestly, Tim, the amount of times, like, you practice drop goals and you're just spraying them left, right and rhubarb, mate. And this one, I literally hit it and it went out and it looked like a brown paper bag blowing in the wind, mate. But it was slap bang between the middle of the post. And then, like I said, you'll see from my reaction, like, I genuinely didn't know what to do. Like, I wanted to, like...
You can't believe one's gone over.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Hey, mate, you just got to keep swinging, boy. It's a bit like Pano when he boxes. You keep swinging and one of that.
Hey, careful. If you were here in studio, I'd teach you a thing or two.
Both are winners, though. Both are winners.
Ugly, but they get the job done, Freddie. That's a very good life motto.
Hey, Wiggy, I was saying, mate, I haven't been this drunk with you since we were on the piss at Cheltenham with Tinder's message, mate.
Cheltenham. No, that was another good night.
Oh, there we go, mate.
I'm very glad your wife is issuing some good training to some seasoned professionals.
Yes, she was.
If it hadn't been Lena's birthday, I'd have been meeting you somewhere, I tell you.
Tell me, let's go into that, to the reaction a little bit more. Richard, did you watch the moment unfold, or were you sitting head in hands on the bench?
No, I watched it, and then I just saw the clock. Everyone was going wild, and you were like, no, stop. Like, you immediately what goes through your mind. And yeah, then they start walking up for the kickoff, and I'm stood with George, and I just went, George, can you imagine Freddie Burns' Instagram in the next week or so? He's literally just
with 20 seconds on the clock, you mentioned Freddie Burns' Instagram.
Yeah. I just to try and relax us in the moment, because I was just thinking, well, I can't believe what he's just done. No, he was the man for the moment. Everything happens for a reason. Brilliant for him to step up and knock it over.
And with you, old man, obviously stepping in, you know, Youngsy being sat on the bench, was that purely tactical in terms of, I mean, the way you played on the weekend was outstanding, and it just seemed that you knew everything that you were going to get off Sarri's, and you'd not only prepped yourself, but you prepped the lads. Was that the purpose of why you started? It was because of that knowledge, because, you know how to give it back to them as much as they give it out, or...?
Maybe. Steve definitely picks tactically. I'm not involved in them discussions. He didn't pick me the week before, but he picked me for the big one. I'd like to think that I know how to get it done when it really matters, and probably the way we were going to play and have to approach playing a team that big and that physical and that good in attack recently, that we were going to have to get the ball away from our try line.
And that's what you did. You basically very rarely kicked out. You always kick long. Don't give them their set piece. Don't allow them to get pens. Was that always the plan?
Yeah. We didn't want the ball going off with how big their set piece is, but how good their launch plays are as well. Obviously, really well organised. And the more time Faz has to pull the strings, the worse it is for you. So, yeah, we wanted to limit that time.
Can I just ask you, Fred, 20 seconds to go and you take the drop. Is that because if you miss, you get one last shot? Or would you rather have had it as the final play regardless?
You're asking details that his brain wasn't computing. Oh, really?
am I going into the Matrix?
No, boys, I'll be honest with you, mate. Like, genuinely, I was struggling. Quite embarrassing. I know I come on early, but coming off the bench, mate, I was struggling with cramp. Like, and I was like, I had to get Freddie Stewart to kick a kick to touch, just because I knew, I thought in my head that there might be one moment or one kick to potentially win it. But yeah, mate, I was going to chip and chase it, mate. Honestly, I was going to chip it. And then just think what happened. But, mate, to touch on, like, Steve and Wiggy and that, mate, and, you know, Smithy, Deeks, Kev Sinfield, mate, the coaches through the week, what they instilled in the boys, and then the boys went out and executed the game plan. You know, like Jasper Visa's try at the weekend was a rehearsed set play, mate, that we analysed in the week. And I think, Wiggy, don't be modest, mate. Did you bring that in? Was that your call? But, like, we did it. We executed it in the most pressured moment, and it gives us a try out of nothing, really.
Yeah, that might have been mine, but I stole it from once Steve wanted to do something different, and we saw what the Bulls did last week at Leinster. Was it the Bulls last week?
Yeah.
So we just had a slight variation on that. And a lot of teams set up with their worst defenders, or the guys who aren't dying to make the tackle on that side, and all the guys who you don't want to run into on the other side. So why would you go that way?
Yeah.
But there's one thing coming up with another thing going, like LSU tap, and then you have to come around the corner. It's not, yeah. It helps having those
obviously
two.
Ellis being the fourth wheel of our pod, how good for him as well as a send off for what he's been as a captain this year, and how much do you think he's grown, and how is his parting ability on the weekend, more importantly?
Oh, well, I'll let Freddie talk about his part, and I'll talk about his rugby and his captaincy. He's been immense all year. He's played loads of minutes, turns up every week and flies into it. Boys love him. They follow him. He's got genuine care for everyone as well, like probably a side that people don't see. But he's been an absolute pleasure to work with, and I'll let Freddie take it away what he's like on the piss.
Mate, he's an animal, isn't he? He's an animal. But I think for me, he's like, so I was there when Genji first joined Tigers, as like, and he had his troubles at Bristol. He rocked up and, you know, he was what he was. He was abrasive. He was sort of unapologetically himself, but almost a little bit misunderstood. And I think Steve's really given him that captaincy role, as seeing him just grow and just be like a leader. And I think you just follow him into anything, whether it was a scrap in the street or, you know, a rugby field, mate.
Yeah. Well, hang on, Freddie. There's no chance you're following him. Actually, you'd start it, and then he would finish it for you.
Yeah, I would. Yeah, I'd be 10 metres behind, but I'd follow him eventually. Do you know what I mean? Like once the ambulance has come and cleared everyone up, I'll be still over.
You'll be filming it.
You'll be filming it to Instagram. But no, honestly, mate. Like, what a bloke! I couldn't be happier for him either to sign off in the way that he wanted. You know, incredible, and his performance yesterday as well, both on the pitch and on the piss, was exceptional.
Whose idea was the double denim? And what was the theme?
It was Genji, straight away, wasn't it? He said, we've not got time for fancy dress, so everyone's favourite, double denim. So we're all frantically buying. You try to be prepping for a final. I was down TK Maxx on Friday morning, frantically trying to find some matching denim.
Incredible. Go on, Freddie.
No, I went for a little short dungaree set. From
but
the best thing is, I woke up and I'd had two cold chicken nuggets and about four pints of cider for breakfast, and then I was like, right, how am I going to get to Welford Road to meet the lads? So I was like, oh, just get the train in. So I literally had a 20-minute walk from my house in double denim, absolutely steaming, with the Premiership trophy over my shoulder, just walking through Market Harborough, mate, on the train. Some kids, mate, fair play, I don't know who they were, there was these three kids got on the train at Market Harborough with me, spoke to me the whole way, and I said, oh, what are you boys doing in Leicester today then? They went, oh no, we just come and sit with you. They got back off, got off the train, walked over the bridge, got on the next train back to Market Harborough. I thought, lad.
Amazing.
Yeah, no, it was good,
that
mate.
Is amazing. My first thing when I saw your double denim was, you still obviously skip arm day.
Tins, I'm right.
Spaghetti
right.
arms.
Really, how often do I go in the gym all the time? There's just no growth.
Every day.
Holy does.
God loves a try.
Unfortunately, when you've got a melted candle as a body, you can't do anything about it.
you should see him, mate. He comes in with his prep meals now and stuff. He likes to play up. He has his 400 calorie meals when lads are having a refill. He's trying to impress someone anyway.
The model pro. I can't remember if it was you, Freddie, or Ellis, who put up a photo of Chris Ashton. Definitely not in denim. It's quite a flowery number going on, and a heck of a lot of ivory as well. I'm not sure if he was wandering across the plains, whether he'd escaped from the hunters out there. There was a lot of teth being born. But Wiggy, knowing him as you do, just a word on, I mean, the fact that his career has absolutely bobbed all over the place and he pops up. Obviously, he's a back-to-back premiership winner because he got a medal last year with Quinns, didn't he?
He's not a back-to-back premiership winner.
Well, he'll tell you. Chris Ashton will tell you he is a back-to-back premiership winner.
He won't claim last one. He won't.
I think he got a medal.
Were you a bit gutted that little? You thought? Did you think the old combo was coming in with the grubber back on the inside? You're going to be underneath the sticks.
He just shinned it. I said he'd have finished that 5 years ago, but he could have had a couple.
His nose got in the way. Couldn't see the ball when he dropped it.
I mean, how's he fitted in, and how's he handled? I suppose the last. Well, I mean, obviously 6 months have been brilliant, but the last 18 months of his career.
Do you know what? He was really nervous before he turned up about. Did he want to go through it all again? He's obviously whatever's happened at the other clubs has happened, and he turned up, I think, on a week's trial for us to have a bit of a look at him and him to have a look at us. I obviously sold him the dream when I rang him and said, "Look, we need someone cover on the wing. Will you come?" And I said, "I think you'll love it, because what Chris is he's a competitor, but what he can't do is if he doesn't think something's right, he doesn't keep his mouth shut, does he?" He doesn't conform, but if it's good, he'll do everything 100%, and that's what we've had out of him. We've had him turn up and love it.
Obviously, we can't speak highly enough of what Borthers has done in the time that he's been there, but isn't it amazing that he takes players who sort of the norm have cast aside and said they're sort of done, and you've got, you know, Ellis standing up, Wiggy, you at 92, and the likes of Chris, plus the young kids that have sort of made a name for themselves, you know, in a pack that you wouldn't necessarily, no one necessarily jumps off the page, but it just shows when you're all pulling in the same direction for a person who obviously has got the balance right between work and play, for someone who you only think of as working both. Yeah. Please tell me he smiled at some point, lads.
He's happiest you've seen him, mate, as head coach. He likes reveling in everyone else's fun, like you. You wouldn't have him down as someone who's going to
want to. He's a voyeur. He's a sicko voyeur in the corner, isn't he?
He loves it. He loves it. He was obviously instrumental in Freddie coming back, and he wanted Freddie because of his right boot and him sticking over drop goals, but he wanted him for his personality as well. Like he gets on with Hask, and he gets on with all these outgoing characters, and I think people probably don't understand that just because he's not this outgoing guy that he doesn't want. People are right around him. He's head of performance. Alec Walters is as crazy a man as you'll ever meet, but he loves him. He loves him.
Was Borthers asleep on the street somewhere, or did he leave the phone to you guys?
Yeah, no, he wouldn't. He didn't come out with us.
I was saying last time we had a court session with Borthers, we had to make him eat Mars bars and drink pints of full fat Coke because he won't drink. So I said to Freddie, make sure he just eats Mars bars and drinks Coke and make him fat. Cheer him up with some sugar.
Freddie, I mean, given what you've been saying, Wiggy, I want to bring this back to you, Freddie. Steve Borthwick said this about you. When Freddie's name came across my desk, I wanted to ring him straight away and just see if he's interested. I got the energy and excitement from him straight away. This guy wants this challenge. He wants to come back here. And I think our fans played an enormous part. It leaked out. The fans were trying to persuade him to join. Phenomenal player and also an incredibly gregarious character. And you want that in your changing room. You want that in your squad. I mean, it's easy to say nice things after you've kicked your team to a premiership title. But even so, what do those words mean to you? Because on paper, you're fairly different characters. I'm not sure Borthers' Instagram account is quite as rampant as yours is over the last 48 hours.
The thing with Steve is, and Wiggy hit the nail on the head, is, right, just because he's not necessarily that character himself, it doesn't mean he doesn't want to be around it. And actually, mate, some of the laughs we've had in team meetings, group meetings, coming in, hearing about the young lad's horrendous dating stories and all that sort of stuff, mate, he absolutely loves it. So, mate, to have those words means a lot. I just, like I said, I love this club, mate. Two special clubs to me massively are Gloucester and Leicester. But when I was here last time, all the sort of unfinished business stuff, all that kind of thing. So to come back and have the shot has been good. Like that said, it's been tough, mate, because, you know, you have to put your ego to one side and realise that, you know, I was like that, I'd be sort of second choice fly half stroke fullback. I'd still get plenty of time. And then arguably two of our most consistent performers all year have been the fly half and the bloody fullback. So you end up on the bench, sort of not playing. Then Fordy doesn't get called up for England and you're like, oh, class, here we go. Do you know what I mean? I'm playing whatever. But then, you know, you keep your head down, you keep working hard, you try to bring good energy to the group. and you get your rewards. So, mate, it's been a funny old year, but to win it yesterday, Saturday, I don't even know what day it is, mate, but to win it and just see the smile on the face of the boys and have that moment in the change room was world class.
It's an interesting one, that the fact that people always want their minutes and they always want that, but Freddie would never ever swap the last 2 weeks of his life, coming on early last week and then coming on early this, 27 minutes on Saturday for a season where he played every game. It's just, you've got to ride those, as you say, you've got to ride those storms. High times, ride those storms, and then if you can ride it well enough, there'll be sunshine at the end of it. Well done, Frederick.
I think that's the thing, Jim. I think it's the thing as well, mate. When I was in Japan, I was playing. I love my time in Japan. I'd love to go back out there at some stage and play again. But
you've just got an add a zero.
Yeah,
onto
exactly. your yen has just gone up a little bit.
Yeah, I want a few more yen now. I want a few more yen. But but then you come back and, there was chatting to other clubs as well that I probably could have gone to, been first choice and started every week. But I just saw what Steve was building and the sort of dream that he kind of sold and the club itself being what it is to me. I just thought, I'm going to go back and just see what happens. Just, train hard, give it my all, see what happens. And like you say, it's come round, it's come good for me. I was in the right place at the right time. And yeah, you're now a Premiership champion.
Come a long way from that session at DMU earlier on.
My head was fully gone, boys. Fully gone.
Go on, let us in.
I went to Nashville on the week off, didn't I? We had the bye week. I went to Nashville on the piss for a week. Come back.
I saw that. You were line dancing, weren't you?
Mate, literally, I took the whole of my Instagram
to Nashville with you, mate. We were there.
Anyway, I come back. Two days after coming back, I test positive for COVID. Right? So I miss Bordeaux away and Quinns at home. I come back. I train for a couple of days. I get the start against Connor at home. And honestly, I was terrible. I literally tried like a banana kick, put it straight out on the full. I was just all over the shop, right? I was absolutely terrible. And then Steve dropped me for the Bristol game on Boxing Day. And basically just said, you fucked up, going to Nashville. Like, you shouldn't have gone, got COVID, whatever. So I was fuming, mate, like properly fuming. Next thing you know, I'm at a training session at DMU, defending at 10. Tim, do you know me, mate? I've never taken a gum shield out to training with me in my life, mate. I took my gum shield, my shoulder pad, a scrum hat, mate. I chopped Nemzi Nandolo maybe two or three times. I've never been more prepared to get a concussion in all my career, mate. I was like, I'm going to leave this pitch in a body bag. I don't care, mate. I was fuming. Fuming.
Hey, and look where it's led to.
Mate, exactly.
It's all worth it.
Wait, do you know what the best thing is? I turned around to Lenny as well, because I was sort of like, I'm always the one on the music or messing around with my top off or whatever. And I'm always like, I was going, Lenny, oh, see how much of a clown I am now. They think I'm a clown around here, like they're proper, like getting emotional. Anyway, next week I get back in the team. I'm back naked, dancing with my boxers around my head, mate, acting like a complete clown, isn't I? Lenny would never let that go now. Never.
Hey, never step away from the true Freddie.
No, true, mate.
Amen to that. You mentioned, just very quickly, you mentioned Ben then, and I don't know whether you guys saw it in amongst the celebrations, but there were almost the best moment, second to your drop goal, we'll put it that way, was the cheer that Tom Youngs got when his face came up on the big screen. And it was a proper sort of lump in the throat type job, but just give us a sense of A, how motivating the last few weeks has been for you as a squad, Richard, but also, just a very, very special moment for a very special man who was smiling broadly, but I can imagine it was, it's only an interlude really.
Yeah, no, it's obviously been well documented what him and his family have been going through. And when you're a club like Leicester and you're as intertwined as the Youngs are to it, then you probably feel it even more. I think it's been really tough all year, but he came to the Bristol game and led us out, and Tiff was there. And he spoke to us, he spoke to the 23 in the changing rooms. I reckon there was tears everywhere. I've never been in a changing room like it before. It was like incredible. I was actually like worried that there was going to be three red cards in the first 2 minutes, because you've never seen a set of lads so like, I am going to go and do it for you.
Yeah.
And I think we had that. We had a bit of a higher cause. We had something else. That's what Kev Sinfield said. He said, it's funny. It feels like we've got something else to do it for that's more important. Just to give him a few moments where he doesn't have to think about what he's going through and give him a little bit of joy. I think we had a really big cause.
Amazing.
It is amazing. Jumping on Super Kev, who you've talked about there, not many people really know him as a character. They've seen, we've had him on the pod, and he's a He's an incredible human being. What differences has he brought to that Leicester in terms of how he motivates? And, you know, I always see these rugby league guys as they're so positive, they're so upbeat, different to a Sapochino like we are. How has he been? How has he fitted in? Because obviously now he's getting all the plaudits that he deserves. But give us a little insight into what he is day to day.
He's obviously excellent coach to start with. His detail's incredible. Not only does he do defence, he helps me with attack and he does kicking game. He's involved in everything we do. I think he has a massive impact on individuals, one-on-one time with him. I think that's where he shines. I think people don't want to let him down. So when he asks them to do things, they do it. He's got those intangibles, really, that you can't put your finger on, that like everyone's really bothered about sort of like making him happy, not letting him down. And he doesn't put any pressure on that. It's just because of the incredible humour he is that's what happens. But he's got a lot of skill to it as well, with his knowledge of how quickly he's picked up our game. He says himself he's nowhere near the finished article, but the Pinnock is pretty damn good.
I love it. Did you bump into the Sarries boys on your night out? I saw a picture with Ellis and Jamie George. Or was that just the two of them?
No, there was a few of them that turned up the same place later on.
I love that.
Yeah, it was nice to see Jamie.
Richard, obviously for you, I mean, you know, the trophy is the trophy, but what it looked like, and certainly what we heard from Owen Farrell post-match, was that Saracens were incredibly gracious in the aftermath of it, and they tend to win well, but they always seem to lose well as well. Was there some kind words and some nice words between you and old friends?
Yeah, they were awesome. They were awesome, mate. A couple of them came to change rooms to say hello and well done, but they were great from straight afterwards to seeing a couple of them last night. They showed their class, didn't they? I don't think they've lost the final since 2014. They've, like you said, they've won a lot. But they were exactly how you'd want to act in that situation, which is a credit to them and the club, but no real surprise.
Yeah, good on them. And Freddie, did you have some nice words with old friends? With, you know, was there quite an iconic photo with you peeling away to celebrate the drop goal and Owen sort of having tried to charge it down and things. Were there some nice moments for you with old foes?
Yeah, there was. I think it's... I'll tell you what, it's one thing that... Obviously, the moment, I never want to exchange it for anything. But unfortunately, sometimes when you're in that moment, what people don't see is you get carted off to do interviews and press stuff. And you can't remember doing the press conference with Steve and all you can hear is the boys singing in the changing room. And you're kind of like... You know, you're sort of like, oh, you just want to get out and get with the boys. So I actually missed the opportunity right at the end of the game as well to see any or too many of the Sarries boys. And I just, you know, Jamie George, I seen him last night. He's a guy I played England age group stuff with. Literally within an hour after the game, I get a message from him just being like, hey, mate, sorry I couldn't catch you. But like, sort of saying, like, well done, massive moment, like, proud of you, whatever. And he just think like, I say, mate, unbelievable touch. And I thought, you know, bumping into a few of them last night as well, you know, what a team. And I think that's what Wiggy touched on earlier as well. That's why it makes it so special, mate, to beat a team like that, as good as that, you know, with all the names and players they had. I think that's what made it special. We beat a proper team yesterday in a proper rugby game. And yeah, it just, they were fantastic. Couldn't speak highly enough of them.
It's interesting now, isn't it? If you look at, obviously, Borthers now, I know, obviously, Borthers has done a bit of Sarries, then he's done under Eddie, and now he's at Leicester. But then
Japan as well.
And Japan.
But and then, Bristol for a week.
But then you look at what Al Sanderson is doing at Sale. It's like the Wolfpack is expanding to share its love all around other clubs as well. And do you get a feel of that? That you can see, you know, what you guys, well, especially what Wiggy pioneered at Sarries. Do you see that? Is the strength of what those coaches are taking out to other clubs now, and they're doing it in their own way and making small adjustments?
I think the big thing you said, you have to do it in your own way, but you always look at teams that win, don't you? And they won for a long time. So when teams win, definitely have to notice and deal with what they bring and do that yourself. So there's definitely a Saracen's influence in how the game is played in some of those things. But I think if anyone tried to copy and paste it, you get smashed anyway.
Yeah, I think it's becoming more and more apparent now with professional rugby. Is the old days what me and Hask hated was if you're not doing well, you train harder. It's not about that, is it? It's about creating the bond between the players, and that's done socially more than anything else. Making sure you care about the guy to your left or your right. You might say he's a friend, but it's rugby's still a game that really turns up, and I think that is one thing that Sarri's brought to the, has brought in spades that now other teams are sort of copying and kicking on in their own way. Just the way you've described everything in the changing room, obviously, you know, what you had to go through with, what the clubs had to go through with Tom Young's situation. It just feels like it's so galvanised. I mean, I've never heard Freddie talk so well about a group in terms of wanting to be involved and everything else. And it's very special. And obviously it's paid off in what you've achieved. So well done on that.
Fantastic.
Thank you, mate.
What's next? How much longer do the celebrations go on for? When do you book in for dialysis?
One more day.
One more day.
One more day.
When are you getting your budgies and going on holiday?
I'm a spoken for man now, mate. So I've had my 2 days celebrating with the boys. I said we're going to go out for dinner. And
it means he can put the budgies on now. He doesn't have to worry about pulling.
I can eat what I want now, mate. I look like Goody, mate. That's what I'll do when I go away.
But no, mate.
I've not booked anything because I'll tell you what as well. It's that funny thing. It's the same with the social yesterday. You know, it comes to like Thursday, Friday, and you're packing like double denim and you're arranging this social, but you're also going tomorrow, say it's Friday, you go, oh, tomorrow we're either going to be on cloud nine or probably, you know, absolutely devastated and not wanting to go out. So it was the weirdest thing. And it's the same with holidays that, mate. I just didn't want to think about it. You know, I had to be so selfish the last sort of week, 2 weeks, just to be like, look, I want to focus to get this job done. And now it's done. Mate, I'm jetting off somewhere. I don't know where yet, but we'll decide where. And I'm going to just drink my body weight in wine, mate, and beer. And I'll worry about that on July 18th, I think.
He knows what's coming. He's waiting for the socials to kick in and someone offer him a free holiday, and he'll pimp the crap out of that too.
You are available for a free
holiday. Yeah, that's exactly
Wiggy, what are you doing? When have you got to get the Filofax back out and start planning as opposed to relaxing?
Probably pretty sharpish. Kids are in school, so I cannot take them out unless I get a fine, which I'm considering doing the way I feel right now. So,
you're Northern. You're never going to take them out and pay the fine.
Exactly. Probably right, mate. You're probably right.
And what about you and Platt? Are you going to go on? Are we doing another year and another year and another year?
I'm going to do.
Are you after Shawzy's mantle?
What's Shawzy? I don't know what Shawzy's mantle was.
I think Shawzy was about 52 when he wrapped up, so you got a way to go.
Yeah, no, I'm going to play next year. All my mates have all now finished because I'm an old man and they were even older, and they've all said, play as long as you can. It's the best thing you'll ever do. So while I feel I can contribute, that was always the aim. So while I feel good, I'll play.
Are you conflicted as obviously, you know, the man who started at nine and therefore celebrates as a player, but also has an overview and, you know, is plotting the match winning tries and is going to be hiring and firing in the not too distant future? Is that a confliction, or are you pretty comfortable with both hats?
It was definitely talked about at the start of the season. It wouldn't have worked if the lads hadn't been first class with it. So Steve said it out. If it hadn't worked, I would have retired on the spot. It would have been, no, I know my priority is coaching and helping do the players. But if I could contribute on the field as well, I was going to do that. So that was the discussion. He said it out pretty plainly for the lads. But they've been awesome.
Judging by the vocal cords, you do still know how to celebrate. What's left of them anyway. And Freddie, I mean, to come to you, and I don't want to go sort of too deep, but to look at your journey and your career and, you know, the unbelievable talent that you showed at Gloucester and, you know, the highs and the lows and debut off the bench against the All Blacks and then, you know, a bit of time in purgatory and drop ball over the try line for Bath. Actually, do you know, I was thinking the other day about the fact we were talking, you went through Bells as well, didn't you, at one stage, which was, you know, I mean, you've just had it all in a career that has taken you all around the world. And yet here you are, you know, whacking over a drop goal with 20 seconds to go. I mean, when will the moment drop?
Are we talking movies now? We're almost into movies territory, aren't we?
Honestly, boys, I need to write a book or something. But I'll tell you what, the worst bit is
Ben Urbano's next documentary.
The Instagrammer who kicked drop goals as opposed to the account.
Honestly, do you know what the worst bit is even before I had the Bells balls in, even now it goes funny, mate. You see me celebrating, like the face goes lopsided, mate, the eye closes up. Like, you know, people ask me what's the best feature on my face. I say the fact I can't fucking see it. It's probably the best thing. But No, lads, like, it's been, like, the thing is, it's been a hell of a journey, and I know you get the old cliche and stuff like that, but to have that moment yesterday, not just for me, mate, as soon as the whistle went, actually, I celebrated with the boys. I ran straight into the crowd and saw my mum, my dad, my brothers, gave them a kiss, a cuddle, you know, all that, those people that have been there through, like, the shittest times, like, the real terrible times of just sitting there. Like, I said to my old man, like, there's times where genuinely I was at Bath and I called him up and I was like, I think I'm done. Like, I just think I just don't want, I don't want to play the game anymore. I just like, I'll go and do something else. And then you stick to it and you get that moment. So, mate, honestly, I've had it all, bells, ballsy. I was ugly before that, but that actually gave me an excuse now.
That's the best thing. still got the best hair in the league. Do you feel like it's, you can't say it's all been worth it, but I want to know how much a moment like this means, given all the crap that you've been through.
Mate, honestly, everything. Like, I couldn't, I was almost in tears at the end of the semi-final when we beat Saints, just to think that, right, I got a shot now to, like, do something special. But in my wildest dreams, to have that moment on Saturday, and even now, mate, I sit there and I just start laughing, because I'm like, it actually happened. But yeah, mate, to have done it is great. And I think for me, the most important thing, just to do it with great blokes. Like, generally, I know a lot of people say it, but that team that we've got, both the coaching staff and the playing staff, is just, is special, mate. We've got something that, you know, I love going, waking up every day, even when I'm not playing, to go in and train with those boys and have the crack that we do and work as hard as we do, mate, to watch them all in their double denim yesterday, making absolute fools of themselves and just loving that. But honestly, as you get a bit older, you appreciate those things, mate, and boys, I can't even put it in words. I'm honestly made up. You know, it gets me quite emotional even thinking about it.
Who would play you in the Happy Gilmore equivalent, the rugby union Happy Gilmore equivalent?
Who would play me? I don't even know, mate. I'd like to say Patrick Swayze, mate, but he's dead. Like, young Patrick Swayze.
He's also dead. Yeah.
if he played you now,
may he rest in peace, Patrick. Thank you and apologies.
I don't know, mate. It would be someone who looks.
Fred, I'll throw a good one out for you. Christian Bale.
Yes.
Yeah, I was.
No way.
But I don't know.
No way.
If you go for looking likes, I'd probably say something like Gordon Ramsay's left testicle would be a fucking good
thing. Same elasticity in the skin. Yeah,
exactly. Hey.
The other thing that we do need to clear up here is, for both of you, Tins and Freddie, you've both had very prominent weeks on social media. So the big question is, what gains you more followers, wearing your wife's fascinator at Ascot or kicking a drop goal in the Premiership final? How many did you go up by, courtesy of hats at Ascot?
100,000.
Right, 100,000. Freddie, how many have you gone up since Saturday and kicking the winning drop goal in the Premiership final?
100.
50.
No, how many?
No,
150
no,
only?
No. I think I've gone up about six, seven, mate.
Right.
No, but
just imagine if you'd kicked the drop goal in the Fascinator, you'd have been absolutely home and hosed by now.
I'd have off the chain, I'd have been like a Kardashian.
Yeah. But realistically, it has nothing to do with me. Oh, my mind's gone up, but there you go.
Is Borthwick going to get a proper holiday? He certainly deserves one. There was some lovely imagery of him when you kicked the drop goal. I mean, sort of talk about stone cold.
No, but literally, and then when the final whistle went, they went straight on, and it was just, it was like it was relief.
Yeah.
Rather than enjoyment. Was he really, does he think about the pressure, or is he, does his face tell a different story to what goes on inside?
Oh, he feels every second of a game, mate. Yeah,
does he?
He's in that coaching box, yeah. Kev is the duty of sitting next to him, so we all draw straws, and Kev got the short one, so he's next to it, calming him down.
And will Borthwick get some proper time off? Does he do that kind of thing? Have you said to him it would be good to kind of, you know, mow the lawn and tend to the flowers a little bit, or is he just, he's straight back into it tomorrow?
I don't know. I'm sure he'll spend some time with his boys, but I wouldn't be surprised if he's working away.
Unbelievable. Anyway, I've got a quick game to play.
Go for it.
Can we do something very quickly, which I think would be quite entertaining, just because one of the things about this Leicester team, and I'm sort of comparing it to not necessarily the last side that won in 2013, but certainly the side that did four between 1999 and 2003, is that you've got some unbelievable characters. There's a lot of outpouring of sort of, I'm not going to say love and affection, but it's a very easy team to like, whereas the team in the early 2000s prided themselves on the fact they were very hard to like.
Dislike.
So can we play a very quick game, which is just you each get the chance to say one word about each of the team that started on Saturday. So if I start with Ellis, Freddie, one word to describe Ellis.
I'm just going to go obvious. I'm going to go leader, mate. I'm going to go leader. Trust me, like that bloke leads.
Montoya.
Unsung.
Dan Cole, Richard.
Durable.
Miserable or durable?
Both.
He's both. Ridiculous amount of rugby he has played at Tyne Prop. It is ridiculous.
Good on him. And still going. Chesham, Freddie.
Oh, big Ches. Character. What a boy.
Love it. Green, Wiggy.
He's unsung. Unsung. Proper player.
Liebenberg, Freddie.
Annoyingly handsome.
Two words, we'll let you have it. Tommy Reffel, Wiggy.
Jackler.
Jasper Visa, Freddie.
Animal.
Richard Wigglesworth, Freddie.
How predictable it's going to be.
He is the kid that draws a knob on his textbook, isn't he? He forever will be that child.
Benjamin Button.
George Ford, Wiggy.
Classy.
Potter, Freddie.
Magician.
Hey.
Love it. Oh, I see what you've done there. Porter. Well done, Porter, as well. Good day for the club.
What a story that is.
Yeah.
A story that is.
How's he going to go in Oz?
He'll go real well.
Yeah?
They'll get into camp and they'll really like him.
Good.
Good boy.
One word? Good boy.
Good boy.
Mattis Moroney, Fred.
Just a boy. Love. Tute. Just nothing but love.
All right. You get Ashton, Wiggy, and I defy you to not use the same word that Fred used earlier.
What did I call him?
I thought you called... Yeah, go on.
What did you call him?
Go on, you go, Wiggy. Ashton. This is a real test of how far you've come as a coach as to whether you can resist the opportunity.
No, I am. It's with every fibre of my being. Prolific.
Well done. And Freddie Stewart, Fred.
King of the skies. I know it's not one word, but that's what he is, mate. Unbelievable in the air.
King of the skies. All right. I tell you what, you can finish off, Wig, with Freddie Burns. Alcoholic. Instagrammer.
Yeah.
Influencer.
One word to describe Freddie Burns. I don't know if that word's invented.
Right.
I don't know if it's in the English language.
It may well come. Oh, fellas, it's been very, very nice of you to drop in. Tell us what's next. Freddie, what's the next 24 hours hold, other than, you know, ice packs and ice baths and
it's not
a
that,
bit of sleep?
It's not that matter of a Monday as we're going is at the moment, Fred.
Saturday night, all the day yesterday. But I'm going to get red wine drunk with my girlfriend tonight.
Love it. Keep going.
Give him back.
And Wiggy, you've probably got to sober up for the school run in about 10 minutes, haven't you?
I do. I am just, they're all glaring at me through the window. I'm taking them out for a meal.
Well done.
Yes, that's dead duties.
Fellas, many, many congratulations. What a hell of a story.
Thanks,
what a hell of a final and what a hell of a way to win it, Freddie Burns. Thank you very much for dropping in. We'll see you both soon.
Cheers,
look after yourselves.
Legend.
Enjoy your summers.
Enjoy.
Well done, team. Cheers, all the best to everyone.
Yeah.
And there they go. Are you more jealous?
Can you see two different sort of nights or how the next week is going to go?
Yeah.
Wiggy with his 25 kids.
Yeah.
And then obviously...
And a coaching job and all the recruitment that needs to be done and debriefing and reporting, etc. Freddie.
Freddie's going to be living the same old Groundhog Day for the next 2 weeks.
Absolutely brilliant and very, very good in the choice. Are you more jealous of the Premiership medal or the 3-day bender that they've just been on?
I always miss a 3-day bender.
There you go.
But you can still do them now, I suppose. If Wiggy could just give me one of his 7, that'd be quite nice.
Yeah. I mean, it is extraordinary. Both of their stories are extraordinary for totally different reasons, but no one will ever win 7 again.
You wouldn't have thought so. You wouldn't have thought one team, and then to make the changes around the teams to be in the right place at the right time.
Yeah.
No, fair play to him. You know, I thought Wiggy was outstanding. I mean, a brave call from Steve to obviously go with him and back him. But Wiggy performed out of his skin. I mean, I think Austin Healey talked about it during the match. He was so good.
Yeah.
So fair play.
There is something.
This is why I always say age is just a number. If you can still do it, you can still do it.
Yeah.
Stop bringing age up.
We have often said in the past that a strong Leicester means a strong England, or English rugby needs a strong Leicester in order to kind of to be as meaty as perhaps it wants to be. And with that in mind, normal services resume. But that point, that it's hard for them to talk about because they're in the thick of it. But when you look at some of the characters in that squad, Ellis and the growth that he's shown as a man, the evergreen Dan Cole, you know, Wiggy, who just goes on and on, Freddie Burns, who has had some desperately tough times and kicks a win. I mean, the celebration for him was worth the entrance money alone. You wrap in the story that the Youngs family have had to go through. You know, George Ford delivering right to the end, despite the fact that he's off. We've got, you know, Ashton coming back and somehow finding his way into a title-winning side yet again. Freddie Stewart is the young up-and-comer. They are a very, very, and I've never said this before about Leicester, they're a very easy side to get behind.
Yeah, completely. You know, we talk about how great this game is with characters, how great, you know, it's not about the individual. Yeah. It's about his role within that team and how much he cherishes it. I've never seen Freddie wax lyrically about an environment like he's just talked about.
Yeah.
You know, and he's always been that character who is the heart and soul of it, drives it, enjoys the, you know, will push the boundaries, always wants to have fun. But he's found the balance of where he can have the fun and get it done.
Now they've got to go again. The hunter becomes the hunted.
Yeah, it's always the hardest bit, you know, is to then back it up. But you would say they've got to be in a good place when you've led from week one to week 24. You've proved that you're hard to. You're not just a playoff type team.
Yeah.
You've just proved that you can do everything. You know, they'll have other dreams to chase. They've got proper Heineken, Champions Cup dreams that they can now go after again. You know, they'll feel that they possibly left that one out there this year, but. No, just great to watch. We just talked about the fact that they're, you know, not everyone in that team is a household name. You've just summed it. There's some, you know, future England legends in terms of, you know, likes of Genji, past legends in terms of Coley, but then you've got the
guys like Chessam coming up.
The future coming through. So it could this be another legacy for Leicester? And then you've still got the ones who everyone writes off and keep mousing back.
Yeah.
We've always said how good. I mean, you know, we were talking about Ashley when he scored that three. Was that on his debut back?
Yeah, I think it was, yeah.
And he's just the best support line runner in world rugby. I'm going to throw it out there. It's ridiculous to throw it out there, but I still reckon he'd be one of the best support runners in world rugby right now. And he's got an engine and he can do it and he's got the experience. And, you know, if you can get people, it just proves that it's more about mindset. If people buy into what you're trying to sell, they care more and they'll... They pull it together.
Andre Pollard and Anthony Watson next season as well. Wise recruitment.
Yeah.
Well done, Leicester Tigers. Gallagher Premiership champions in 2021-2022 and a fabulous stage, a fabulous return to the top. And I hope they celebrate hard and long into the night from here on in. Just time, I suppose, to have a quick reflection on the England squad as well. Just before we do that, we've got another little note from Honda on our pod this week, the official performance partner of England Rugby, who, as I'm sure you know, are bringing the power of dreams to the game that we so love. They are playing a big role with the volunteers, Honda, in the English game. And they understand how English fans feel about their sport, the supporters' relationship with the team, their achievements and the hopes and those who dream the impossible dreams. Honda believes in a challenging spirit, embracing failure, which, as we've said many a time before, might well be why they enjoy working with us, and in the joy of trying things as well. And just like England Rugby and their supporters, Honda believes in the power of dreams. And you can find out more at honda.co.uk/engine room/HondaXRFU. And that leads us nicely on from one of the England partners to England themselves. You didn't watch the Barbarians game, did you?
I was having a lovely Father's Day with the family.
Well done.
So I saw the results. I haven't managed
watch the highlights.
Go back through it all. But yeah, no, it doesn't seem like a good day.
It's
at the
a
office.
Quick watch in terms of highlights if you're an England fan. I took my son, Harry, and seven of his mates for Harry's birthday. And at the end of it all, I said, what did you enjoy the most? And he said, trying to start a Mexican wave and the streakers. Which, if you're looking for feedback, possibly tells you that there was a little bit extra than the rugby itself.
You also have to also buy into that with the Barbarians game. Is that generally what it is?
Of course.
Because, you can't be disappointed going away with, what, 11 tries in the game?
Yes, it was 11 tries, I think.
So, but then always with the Barbar's game, having played in three or four of them, you know, people are going for Mexican waves, they're going for this. So it sometimes becomes beyond what's on the pitch. But from an England point of view, going into a three-match series with Australia, they would want a better performance with that.
Yes.
For sure. And Eddie's, well, whatever Eddie said about it, you know, his preparation going forward, that's not what he would have wanted in any shape or form.
England squad?
It still looks like a good squad, doesn't it? I mean, at the back line, you've got plenty of exciting, you know, I'm happy for Guy Porter who's in there, Fraser Dingwall, you know, obviously Tommy Freeman.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, there are some quality players in there. You've got a few apprentice players, Will Joseph, and you've got another apprentice player.
Henry Arundel, I think, is an apprentice. Yeah.
But they could quite easily, I mean, I think everyone, depending, it's going to be interesting to see how Freddie approaches it Freddie's in my brain now. It's a man crush.
Yeah.
How Eddie approaches it, obviously he's going to go there to want to win, but is he going to go and play the Australia at their own game? They all want to keep it fast and loose, or is he going to try and control Australia and make it a bit more?
How do you beat this Australian team? Because it's worth saying they're a much, much better outfit.
Yeah,
than they were in 2016.
Miles better outfit, but I would say their strength is young, fast.
Yeah,
they want to play high tempo. They want to get the ball in. They want to keep it. They want chaos. So, do you embrace that chaos and find out where your players are at, or? Do you go back to a little bit more structured control? I hope England find the balance, because I don't think you can just go fully down that chaos route, because it can just lead to not disaster, but a game that doesn't really fulfill anything, like when you play the Barbars. So I would expect him to still look for that physical edge and set piece edge, but then give those young kids the freedom to play when they want to do, and he's got plenty of those with sort of Owen Farrell holding it all up in the and Jack Noll, I suppose, in the experience stakes.
It's funny because when we did a interview with him at Christmas, he said it's a young man's game, and it's interesting. It probably is a young man's game, and yet you look at Danny Kerr and Billy Vunipola coming back, and
you still need the experience.
Which Wigglesworth winning it at nine for Leicester.
You still need the experience. I don't think it is a young man's game, generally. It's a
young man's pace.
You've still got to have that pace.
Yeah.
But you have to have the experience to see it. You know, you've got to have the experience to put the young guys who can sometimes do it into the holes or into the space that they didn't know it was there. And, you know, I just saw Freddie Stewart's name, and he has got a proper good fend on him. You know, so the little outside breaks that he makes, where he does a good lean in. Anyone who's learning how to do a handoff, if you're a big man, obviously you've got a long arm, which makes it easier. But getting your hips away from that as well, when you're that tall, 6'4", he made two little breaks on the outside, one which he then offloaded on both on the outside. I think he's getting better now. Everyone's talked about his pace, but hopefully he can. Is he out and out fast? But does he need to be out and out fast? There's a question. Anyway, that's just me. Sidetracking. Obviously, Johnny May got a try on the weekend. Good to see him back. I actually quite like it. Billy V to get his chance back in. I think he fully deserved it.
He
played very, very well on Saturday. You know, again, was pulled up in commentary for how he, you know, when he picked up off the base of the scrum, not just going full gas. Actually making people think what he's going to do, is he going to step? And he causes a lot of problems with that. And that's when he was at his best, is when he finds himself that little bit wider and he can put that footwork on, because his thighs are so big, he can't.
I'd love to know what it's going to be like and how Eddie Jones rebuilds those relationships with Danny Kerr, who has been out for 4 years, and Billy, who's had 2 years on the sidelines. And quite obviously, quite publicly with Danny, there was something there. I think both have said that. And with Billy, you know, he's gone from being very much the chosen one to surplus to requirement. Did you go through that? Did you have an experience of that? Or did you see others who had to sort of fall out into the wilderness and then had to sort of bide their time and come back?
It never really happened.
You had that long out.
No. You know, Nick Easter fell out after 2011, but then got back in before 2015. Nothing that's probably been the length. How long has Danny been out for then?
2018, half time of that Japan game.
So similar with him and Minty. But I don't, I think what if Eddie can learn something from his young Padawan in Borthers,
yeah,
it just shows if you create the right atmosphere and you create the right environment for those players and you get them invested, I think you'll get more out of them because they'll pressure, you know, they'll cherish every moment that they're in there.
Yeah.
And I think that's what, you know, speaking to Danny last week, that's what he wants. He just wants that chance.
Yeah.
And it's all about keeping that. And I think Billy will be the same. Just keep that motivation there.
Mulling and musing. Eddie will, I imagine, have a fairly instrumental role in who comes in to take over post 2023, Steve Borthwick, which means Richard Wigglesworth steps up as Leicester head coach.
Or he steps up.
Or goes with him to England.
Or Super Kev steps in.
Super Kev steps in.
Look, I think it's an exciting time at the moment for England.
English coaches. Good coaches around, aren't there? Lee Blackett we had on the other day.
You think about when we were going through the Eddie Jones selection, there was like everyone was saying there was no one English. There was only Rob Baxter really thrown in there.
Mallander was thrown around as well.
And Dean Richards.
Yeah.
Whereas now we've got this young breed of
Sanderson
of coaches who are all doing their thing. Mainly all of them from a Saris background.
Yeah.
Even the ones that are in Ireland, apart from Catty.
Yeah.
So I think it's a good time for us. I generally believe what we've figured out is how to build an environment that people want to play in. Now, is that one of the question marks over what Eddie does, the environment? It seems to be quite player happy unless you're not in it.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean. So,
but that's always the way, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I suppose it's the natural way, isn't it? Because you're always frustrated, but you can still have a good environment and not be in it.
He got a really big cheer yesterday, interesting, getting off the bus, Eddie. So, which I thought was, you know, they have made their bed and they've said this is what we're doing. So,
yeah, look,
I'm glad he did.
But okay, everyone loves to hate Eddie, and he is an enigma that you can't make your mind up. But, you know, I'm sure not too many years ago he was talking about how much he wanted experience. Experience was key, and now it's the young man's game and it's not necessarily experience. And he goes through more players than France in their craziest of times. So, look, I think it's a game that evolves and he's playing the game within that. I still think that a team performs best when it the guy to your left and your right, you know, like the back of your hand, and that only comes from time together.
Yeah.
So I'm probably never going to move. You might call me old school on that, but I just think you need to know someone inside out if you're going to play well with them. And that's the only thing I sort of disagree with what Eddie does. But he's proved in the past he can get to a World Cup final. He's proved in the past he can beat Southern Hemisphere teams on a regular basis. That's where he sort of hangs his hat, because he knows that he's probably going to have to beat a Southern Hemisphere team in a final to win one.
I don't think he's named a skipper.
No, he hasn't. He's not.
Laws,
he's
Farrell, not, or Curry. Who
he's not naming it until he picks the team.
Oh, okay.
Is what I read somewhere.
I quite like the fact he's now got three genuine options.
Yeah. I think the happy medium between both Farrell and...
And Laws.
And
Curry.
Well,
in the autumn.
Yeah, I really like... I actually think I would stick with Courtney, but it's then how are you going to play? Where does Courtney fit within that? If you go, you know... If you went through it now and picked a team, who
do you want to pick a quick team for the first test? Ellis Genge, Luke Cowan-Dickie.
Well, there you go. Ellis as a captain potential, couldn't you? So Ellis, Luke Cowan-Dickie,
and then you're going to end up with Joe Hayes. Are you? I'm just doing. Will Stewart will probably start because Sinclair's staying behind.
Then you got Marrow and.
Laws, would you go Marrow and Johnny Hill? Would you go Marrow, Charlie Yules? Marrow and Johnny Hill.
And Ezekiel's played pretty well in the last two weeks. I think they'd probably go back to Johnny Hill. If we talk about how they would want to dominate, they'll want a bit of size around there. Johnny gives you that. Back row, it'll be interesting to see what they do with the back row.
So you've got Underhill, Billy, Curry. If you want to, you can have Curry at seven, Jack Willis at six.
If you haven't got Courtney in the second row, you have to have Courtney at six.
Okay, Courtney at six. Billy at eight.
Billy at eight. And then...
Curry at seven.
Yeah.
Okay.
Curry.
Nine. Do you start with Danny? Do you go Jack Van Portfleet, Harry Randall?
I would say I would start with Danny.
Because the Marcus Smith at 10 factor?
Yeah.
Do you definitely start Marcus Smith at 10? You don't go...
Yeah, I think this tour he will try the Marcus Smith
Owen Farrell. And therefore, who is your 13? You can have Joe Marchant.
I'm picking Joe Marchant before you mention anyone else, even though like Dingwall's done very well. Guy Porter's obviously done really well. I just think Joe Marchant hasn't had a run at it yet, and I think he deserves a run at it. He played well
like
against...
an elongated run at it.
Well, he hasn't had, he hasn't had back-to-backs on it. He played really well at 13 against South Africa.
Yeah.
Hit some great lines.
Yeah.
Then he got shifted onto the wing for the Six Nations.
Then dropped. Then brought back.
And then brought back, and he played really well against France at 13.
Yeah.
So I would like to see him actually have a chance.
So you've got Smith, Farrell, Marchant, which isn't the biggest midfield.
No,
so therefore,
but again,
your wings are going to be?
I would, if I was going to play around with it, I'd have Noel and Cock and Asina.
Okay. No Johnny May.
One who's going to give you how many games is Johnny back now?
Not more than a handful, I don't think.
So there's going to be a little bit of protecting him. He's definitely still in there for the future.
Yeah.
In terms of, when I say future, the World Cup plans.
Yeah.
I think Joe Cook and Asina, you need to find out more about him, whether he is back. I think he's a very useful weapon for England going forward in terms of how their midfield...
He actually had some lovely touches against the Barbas. What a great try.
I think his confidence needs building up. I think he's one of those guys who needs games. He needs to... And he could be very useful for us, having a big one in that back line. And to back that up, with that sort of 10, 12... 13 access, you need someone who's going to do the dirty work, and that's Jack Noel all day long. But yeah. I mean,
he came on at 13 yesterday, actually, in the Barbas.
But again, he can do whatever because he just wants to turn up and get the ball in his hands. He's what I would call a utility black, who you stick him anywhere, he's going to do whatever he needs to do to get his hands on the ball.
Yep.
So it's not necessarily someone staying in their own position. And then
Freddie Stewart at 15.
Freddie Stewart at 15, yeah.
You're not tempted to throw in Henry Arundel and just say, go.
No, not at the moment, because I think you're still trying to build that. You've still got to build the confidence of dispatching these teams. So I would go whatever you perceive as your best 15 in their position for this first test, and then you play off the back of that. And then, change one or two maybe between tests, but if you want to see what other people can do. And then, if you've won two, you can trial, don't make wholesale changes for the third, but trial a couple of others and then play around with it.
How are they going to get on?
Look, they've got a squad. They've got to go there to win. I think, a series win in Australia should never be sniffed at. I never really got to play three tests. It was always two. Mm. So, so this is being able to go and play for a series win is great, a three-match series. Go and take it. Confidence that can be built with a World Cup round next year. I know it's still a long time out, but having their confidence of winning those games puts you in a better spot whenever you go to a World Cup, as long as you've got the same players, otherwise it means nothing. But go take them on. I think they've got a good enough squad there to go and take them on physically and cause them a lot of problems, take them out of their comfort zone. But also they've got some proper flyers in there as well.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Certainly is not going to be boring. It never is. That is it for this week's show. Well done, Leicester Tigers. Well done, Ellis, who I think is recovering. We will have a check-in with him before too long. But I think he's obviously... Babber is getting ready for a trip down
tired.
Under. It was brilliant to see him lift the trophy. Wasn't it just... I mean, having been on the journey with him over the last...
It's weird, isn't it? Because we feel like we've been on the journey with him. We haven't really.
No,
we just check in with him every now and again.
Yeah.
But. We've watched that development from quite close quarters, as most would, not in the club, but in our own little club of four.
Yeah. We just want it to go well for a minute. It's really nice when moments like that come through.
It's great. We've seen him grow over what he gives us on the pod but how he stays true to himself and changes a bit. There's a few less swear words in there. He's got a little bit more polished and
maybe even the occasional smile.
Really cracked it yet, but
not yet.
That's all we know, he's changed.
Yeah, they're falling apart at the seams. Well done to Leicester Tigers, and actually well done Saris as well. It was a hell of a final and very gracious in defeat, and that is the hallmark of a good club. Well done, Tins. That is it from us for this week, save for saying that The Good, the Scouse and the Rugby is out now. Fee Pocock, the former England winger, has dropped in for a chat with Eleanor Scouse and Mo for an absolutely fascinating discussion about dealing with injury and training in the women's game. Fee's remarkable England career was plagued by a broken knee, PTSD and an ACL injury. So now she makes space for female athletes to learn about strength and conditioning and mental health through her coaching and PT business. One of the greats of the sort of rise of English rugby. And in fact, there's an unbelievable tackle. I think it was from the World Cup semi-final in 2010 that I think Fee Pocock was on the end of, actually. It did well to get up from that one. That is out now, available wherever you get your podcasts and on our YouTube channel. Let's have a little listen to The Good, the Scouse and the Rugby. Well done, the Lord. Nice to see you. Anything exciting this week in the diary?
No, there's a few charity things on this week. I think cherry pickers for playing for the cherry pickers on
the weekend
at Long Elevens.
Is that for Dave Sims?
Dave Sims, yeah. And Crisp, Mike Crisp. So yeah, I think there's quite a few trundling out down at Long Elevens.
Good. Look after then, yourself.
Playing football on the Sunday, if I can still walk from the Saturday.
Stop it. For who?
That's Rugby for Heroes. We're Battle of the Balls.
Right.
So yeah, we're playing a like ex-rugby team playing an ex-professional football team. And what
position are you playing? Left, right, out?
Yeah. Last time I played, pretty much that was it. I was just doing like up and down the pitch.
Yeah, I like that.
I'm open.
I'm ready.
No, you're not.
No, you're not. Sit back down. Yeah. Good luck. I'll score us a screamer. Is someone videoing that?
The only screamer I'll score would go about 150 yards over the bar, I think.
Touchdown.
I'm sure someone will be videoing. I'll show you some great movement as I'm getting into spaces, but no one will find me.
Right. Good on you. That is it for this week's show. We are The Good, the Bad and the Rugby. Thank you to our partners at City Index. We are a Folding Pocket production. Well done to Ant D'Angelo, who's produced us this week. Never an easy job. Look after yourselves. We'll see you in 7 days' time. Bye for now.
Thank you so much for listening to The Good, the Bad and the Rugby. It can't have been easy.